Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to be looking at the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And for this fifth Sunday, we have a bunch of readings that have to deal with the topic of vocations. So as a result, we will be looking at the following. The first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and all the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among the people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that had been taken from the tongs of the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See now that this has touched your lips. Your wickedness is removed and your sin purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said, "send me." The word of the Lord. The response: in the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all of my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. In the sight of all the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. In the sight of all the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, they will sing all the ways of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. In the sight of all the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. In the sight of all the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand. Through it you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is within me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats that were alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And then they came and filled both their boats. So the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish that they had made seized him, and all those who were with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the readings today are all about vocations and being called. We have first Isaiah, his calling being seen, where he basically replies, "Here I am, send me." We see in the second reading, Paul being called last of all the apostles. But also he lists some of the others, like Cephas, meaning Peter, because that's what Cephas is in the Aramaic, or Kephas, as it's supposed to be, but when it's translated through the Greek, it's Cephas. Because it says Cephas, the 12. Then Jesus appears to 500 brothers at once. And then he also appeared to James, and then to all the rest of those who were called to be the apostles, with the last one being Paul himself. And then we see in the gospel reading the calling of Simon Peter himself, Cephas. And we also see how John and his brother James also came to be called as well into the ministry. And it shows how they left their occupations and followed him. It's kind of a reminder of the vocations that we are called to in God. And it's something that the church reminds us that in various ways, there are various forms of calling that comes into our lives. The most important thing to remember on this is that we all get called to serve God in some way. At the root of this is what the Catechism teaches us in section 542, that Christ stands at the heart of every gathering, calling all people into the family of God. This is the first and foremost calling that happens. The calling to holy orders, or to be a priest, a bishop, or deacon, or something along those lines in a religious calling, is all about mirroring the call of every individual into the fellowship of God or the family of God. Because it's through the word of God that certain signs manifest the reign of God. One of the most important one is the Paschal mystery. The mystery that we see every time we go to Mass. Because that mystery is what earmarks what the prophet Isaiah had seen. He saw that there was this vision of the Lord. He was seated on a high and lofty throne, his train filling the garments of the temple. And he hears the seraphim, these angels, stationed above him, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." Where else do we hear these words but in the Mass? When we cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This leads us into every Mass, into the consecration prayer, a time in which we ourselves should realize that we are in the presence of God. In Isaiah's reading, The frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke, and he realized who he was. He was doomed, a man of unclean lips. Just like Peter, when he realized that the nets were so full that they could not contain it in just one boat. Because Simon Peter saw that both boats were filled and were in danger of sinking. As a result, he cried out to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The reason was because the astonishment of the catch seized him and gripped him. The Paschal mystery became a real moment for him in that situation, and he realized everything that he was being brought into. Everyone is called to enter the kingdom of God and to experience this blessing. The blessing that comes from us from the Paschal mystery, the mystery of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. The moment in which he himself in the Mass every day is lifted up from the earth and draws all to himself. It is into this union with Christ that every one of us are called. And this is why the nets were filled to the point of breaking. Because Simon Peter got to see that the nets took such a great number of fish because Jesus drew all unto him. He drew unto him men that had things that they could offer him. In the gospel, the men had a boat that Jesus could sit in and preach. And then after he preached his homily, as happens in all masses, he leads into the great catch of fish by having his men go out into the deep and cast nets into the sea. At every consecration, he does this. We hear, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And we lift up and we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He cleanses us who are unclean to live among those who are unclean. For our eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, in the Blessed Sacrament at every Mass. And as a result, our wickedness gets removed and our sin purged. And he sends us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. A commissioning to be an apostle. We are called to work by the grace that he has given us, where he takes what's in our hands and commissions us to go into all the world and be the gospel that we are to experience. Many of us try to do this in our own ability, in our own right. We fail to see just how we are supposed to follow God in our lives. And some of us end up with an empty religion. A religion to a point that people do not see the relationship of God in it. And there are many that question if we truly seek God in our lives or if we're truly following a religion. Well, as a Catholic, I can honestly say that following my religion is not an either-or situation with following God, because it's a both-and situation. I can both seek God and follow my religion because my religion does not conflict with my being led to have a relationship with God. In fact, it's about the relationship with God. Not every relationship we have in life is beneficial to others in the same sense. But in the sense of certain relationships, like friendships, I can be led into a relationship that truly develops and grows with another person. So in the same way, my religion is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a false dichotomy in most cases for people to separate the relationship of Christ with the religion, because nowhere in Scripture does such a thing seem to be the teaching. It is because of my religion that I do have a relationship with Christ and a very intimate relationship as well. I have the life of Christ because I have been saved through baptism, something that 1 Peter 3:21 tells me that I ought to seek. I abide in his love by keeping his commandments, which is what John 15, verse 10 tells me that I must do if I'm keeping a relationship with him. And as a result of doing this, I know I will be raised with him on the last day because I do eat his flesh and drink his blood in communion. This is what John chapter 6, verse 54 tells me is possible. It's why the Mass happens every day for each one of us. And I know that if I only hold fast to my first confidence to the end, if I truly do persevere with them, I will be saved by grace that comes to me by faith. These are the testimonies of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, and Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9. Most people don't get this because they get hung up on certain chair passages that become their little favorites. And they start preaching a gospel that is not necessarily the Word of God, but is more or less their understanding of it. And that's where the problems come in. That's where the falsehoods come in. Paul was seeking out the zeal that he had for the true religion that he believed. And because of that, he persecuted the Church of God. Yet it was because of the grace of God that he was changed, that his zeal was changed and allowed him to serve God so that he could work harder than any of the other apostles because of the grace of God that was in him. Grace changes who you are. It changed Isaiah from a man of unclean lips to a man that was pure. It changed Paul's zeal from a persecution of the church to a really extending the glory of God out. And it took the nets of the apostles and made them fishers of men, fishers of all humanity. This is the calling that we are called unto, a true family, a true walk that gets further and deeper with him, a walk that happens with one another and in the gospel with Jesus Christ as our true head of the church. Hopefully you'll learn today that a vocation is not a bad thing, that a call to a religion is not a bad thing. It is just merely taking what you are and using it for God. I'm always reminded on this Vocation Sunday of the great vocation of Moses, when he had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they were trapped with Egyptians following them to persecute them, and the Red Sea in front of them, and mountains hemming them in with only one of two choices: turn back to Egypt and die, or turn toward the sea and see the salvation of God. In a moment of doubting, Moses went to God in prayer and said, "Lord, what should I do?" And God's answer in that Exodus 14 moment was simply this: "What do you have in your hands? What do you have to offer me?" In Mass, we offer bread, we offer wine, and it becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In Moses' time, it was a staff that he could raise up, and the waters of the sea parted so that the Israelites could pass through on dry land. When they got to the other side, he raised his staff again, spread his arms out, and the seas came in and swallowed up their enemies. A symbol of baptism, a symbol of coming into new life. This is what we are called to as Christians, a new family, a family that's born by grace, that is on the other side of the sea, out of Egypt, out of bondage. You were called to a greater calling, a calling that takes your unclean lips and makes them a vessel for God. Takes your zeal and makes it something that can make you a greater laborer because of the grace God gives you and imparts through you to others. A boat that Jesus can sit in and preach, and a net that can capture souls, millions and billions, untold numbers for his glory. because grace is greater than all of our sins. And the gospel moves us to truly be children of God. These are our thoughts this morning as we go forward. They're simple thoughts. They don't need to be too elaborate, but they just need to point toward our home and make us realize who we are in God, in Christ Jesus. Because if we truly offer to Him who we are and let Him change us as He changed Isaiah, Paul, Peter, James, and John, we will all become the kind of missionaries for the gospel and live out a religion that truly is a relationship. A relationship that truly blesses us and brings us home. May you truly have a blessed day.